The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. It's a crazy news day. We're following so many parallel lines, but of course, big news in Israel. What is the latest update with regard to the election?
Well, first thing I want to say is if you want to try and solve Israel's problems, I think you've come through to the wrong number.
we'll try again.
yes, a crazy day in Israel yesterday for sure. Quite a lot of surprises in terms of what's come out of the elections. But actually, many things that are not so surprising. Things that were expected. So, you know, let's look at the things that were expected. I mean, we knew that Kahol Lavan and Likud were neck and neck through the entire period of the election campaign. And guess what happened? They've come out neck and neck even after the election results are in, pretty much in. 97-odd% have been counted up. The only counts that I understand are still remaining to be done are the so-called double-sealed envelopes. So Israel doesn't have a system of postal votes or prior voting at all, except for soldiers, except for people who are ill in hospital, people who are prisoners, and diplomats. They have the right to have a so-called double-sealed vote, so they can vote outside of their home constituency, and they can vote potentially even prior to the election date, and their votes get double-sealed, and they're going to be counted up today. It represents a very, very small percentage of the overall vote, something like 2 or 3%. So they are the ones that are still outstanding. So I think we could pretty much rely on the results that we have in at the moment. So neck and neck was the case for Likud and Kahol Lavan, and that's how it's come out, 35 seats each in the next Knesset. And so, you know, that we kind of expected. We also expected some changes in the makeup of the Knesset. We saw a lot of people coming and going. We expected, for example, that Labour would be weakened a lot. They previously had 24 seats in their joint list that they had together with the Tzipi Livni party previously, Hatnoa party. Now they have wound up with six seats. So that is a major loss for the Labour Party and the Labour movement in general. At one stage, there was a prediction that they might get 10, 12, 13 seats, and so that seemed to be something of a recovery from a very weak starting point of the campaign. But six seats is the ultimate place that they have found themselves in, so very much weakened in the next Knesset. Avigdor Lieberman's Yisrael Beiteinu party was on the edge potentially of the threshold. Would he make it? Would he not make it? In the end, he seems to have come through relatively comfortably, given bearing in mind that the threshold to have a seat in the Knesset, which is actually four seats, that's a minimum, is 3.25%, and he has managed to gain 4.2% of the electorate, so he has five seats, and he's back in. The Arab parties, instead of running as a joint list where they won 13 seats last time around, they ran as two separate parties. Now they've won 10 seats between the two of them. There seems to be have been a much reduced turnout of Arab voters
yesterday in the election
polls, which is somewhat disappointing. Mm-hmm. We would have liked to have seen as many people who have the right to vote turn up as possible. And I think that that's cost them, because now they're going to only have 10 seats as opposed to 13 previously. And of course, the big surprise, I think, for many people is the fact that Naftali Bennett's new right party, Yemin HaChadash, has not passed the election threshold. And as things stand right now, will not be represented in the Knesset. Now, he is hopeful that when the soldiers' votes are counted up, in particular later today, he might get the 3,000 votes that he needs in order to pass the election threshold, in which case he will have four seats in the Knesset. But as things stand right now, zero for Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked and their new right party, whereas the old party that they left, the United Right Party, that party has managed to gain five seats. So they are doing all right. I mean, if he would have stayed with them, you could argue that he would have had a seat in the Knesset, and he would have had a position as the party leader. But because he decided to leave that party for his reasons, he looks like he's going to be sitting out the session as a member of the Knesset. And it's an interesting observation, because when the election was held, not the last election but the one before, he was the big winner. He was the surprise guy come through. He was being touted as a potential future prime minister. He was the person that everybody had their eyes on. And today he is not even in the Knesset. So that was a very, very surprising result indeed. But overall, I think what we're seeing is that much more power vested in fewer parties. The two largest parties commanding 70% of the Knesset seats. I can't remember when last that was the case. Last time around, it took four parties to get to 70% of the Knesset seats. Now, the two largest parties do that on their own. Likud has gained in the number of seats that they won since last time around. And of course, Kahol Lavan, the blue and white parties, come from zero to 35 seats. And that's having achieved the largest number of votes, even if it's by just a small number.
But that's an incredible thing for a brand new party to be able to achieve that. Given the fact that Netanyahu is most likely to form now, well, I mean, it seems obvious he's going to form a coalition and take the leadership role once again. Do you think that, given the fact that this Kahol Lavan party is more centrist, that he's going to at least start taking into account some of those more center sentiments? What's your thoughts?
My thoughts are that I hope in the first instance that he might even approach them to join him as coalition partners. And if that is the case, obviously
that's about very powerful he would government, have a, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he would have a very, very strong coalition. He would then be able to exclude all of the other special interest parties from the coalition, from having to pander to many of their particular needs. And so I think that that would be a very, very strong position. And I just wonder whether Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid wouldn't accept that, as opposed to having to sit in opposition. So that's where I hope he would begin. And if that was to be the case, he would clearly have to take into consideration a more centrist view. Having said that, you know, I just wondered to myself how much of the Kahol Lavan party really does represent the centrist view. And I think that there's still a lot of confusion about where on the political spectrum they really fit. And I would suggest that Yair Lapid and Benny Gantz don't really see eye to eye in terms of where they fit on the political spectrum. I think that Yair Lapid is further left of Benny Gantz, and I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Kahol Lavan operates going forward when you clearly do have those differing views, or at least it's relatively clear to me that Benny Gantz is, I think, probably closer to Likud ideology than he is to the Yair Lapid Yesh Atid ideology. That's my own view. And I think that there's going to be some interesting conflicts arising between the two of them as time goes on, whether they happen to sit in the government coalition or not. So there is certainly a view which says that maybe not more centrist views, but maybe some slightly different social views will need to be considered. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Gantz turns around to Netanyahu and says, in exchange for sitting in your government, we're going to demand that you enact a law that limits the term that the prime minister can serve to two terms. You know, that's going to be an interesting discussion to hold. But certainly I think that that will be the case. And if the coalition is not formed of the two largest parties, then in fact Netanyahu goes to his natural coalition parties. And if you have a look at the coalition partners who he currently has in his government, he could seemingly form a coalition of 65 seats, which is, you know, in Israeli terms, a relatively strong governing coalition. And then you are likely to see the same policies persisting as have been the case up until now, which is obviously addressing the issues that the Haredi parties will require, addressing the issue that, for example, the Kulanu party of Moshe Kahlon would require, addressing Avigdor Lieberman's issues in order to win all of those people into the governing coalition. So that's the way that I see it. I think it very much depends on how the coalition is actually set up.
Right, I want to address, one of our listeners sent me a message that I forwarded to you a little bit earlier, and he said, Howard, please can you ask Anthony Reich how he feels with the two Haredi parties being the three and number three and four, and why he's so against them being in government. I thought that Anthony's comments yesterday were quite insensitive, accusing them of things not really true. Yaakov Litzman, one of the best health people around for a while. Your response to that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I appreciate people writing in, and particularly when they call me insensitive, that's okay. I think that there are times when that probably is true. In the terms of my comments about the Haredi parties, my comments really were that the Haredi parties seem to come with a very parochial platform and a very parochial wish list when coming into government. So whereas, for example, you know, if Benny Gantz would come into government, you would expect him to demand things of the coalition that would probably be good for Israeli democracy pretty much across the board, as opposed to trying to pander to his own parochial electorate. The Haredi party seem to have the opposite agenda. Their agenda seems to be just trying to take care of the ultra-Orthodox community, even if that comes at the expense of all other Israelis. And I think that that's the issue that I have with the approach taken by the ultra-Orthodox parties, that it almost seems as if though they're trying to progress their own individual interests at the expense of others. And I use the examples of, you know, trying to make sure, for example, that the yeshiva bochers are not called up to the army. What that effectively means is that other Israelis have to fill those jobs and do the work that would otherwise be done, or at least shared, by boys who are studying in yeshiva. And while I don't deny them the right to study in yeshiva, and I think that it's a very honorable and a good thing to do, I think that they could do that also within the context of some sort of national service. They don't do national service, everybody else has to make up for it. Everybody else has to do it. And the same thing goes when it comes to the allocation of government funds for religious institutions. All, educational institutions deserve funding. All weak members of our society deserve funding in the same way. I don't think that there should be any advantage for the ultra-Orthodox community over everybody else. And that's somehow the way that it feels when, especially when these coalition governments are formed and the discussions are held and the arguments are put forward, and the brinkmanship is, exposed because they are not quite getting the funding that they require for their religious institutions. And so therefore, you know, they're threatened to bring down governments and things like that in return. So my gripe is that it seems to be very, very local and potentially at the expense of the rest of Israel and the rest of the people in Israel. And I think that at this time, and generally speaking, we need to try and somehow band together, and someone needs to turn around and say, I understand that we have a limited budget and needs to be shared out equally amongst all weak members of our society, if that's what we're talking about, a social budget. And therefore, I'm not going to fight to have my piece bigger than everybody else's piece, because I have the power to come into the coalition.
To be the kingmaker.
Come into the coalition.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's my gripe.
You really do see it with any form of government that needs a coalition in order to rule, because the kingmaker becomes the most powerful person in the room. And we certainly saw that with the way in which the Kotel issue, the gender issue at the Kotel was resolved. It became all about the religious parties or the Haredi parties trying to, making the decision. Every time Netanyahu tried to resolve that, it was curtailed. So you definitely do see this playing out as well in a practical sense. So, to the unsigned listener who sent that, I hope that does answer your question. How long do you think it'll take now before there is clarity in terms of the coalition?
Well, the next action is for President Rivlin to invite the leaders of all those parties who have representation in the Knesset to a meeting. He will ask them who they would support as Prime Minister. I'm guessing that he will count up 65 seats supporting Prime Minister Netanyahu, and 55 or maybe even less supporting the possibility of Benny Gantz as Prime Minister. He will then call upon the party that's most likely to form the government, given now that we have a tie in first place for the number of seats. He will call upon the party most likely to form the government to do so. I expect that that will take a few weeks, certainly not before Pesach. I think that the new government will be formed in the days following Pesach, maybe even a little later than that.
All right. Anthony Reich, thank you as always, as some of our listeners are sending messages to say I really enjoy listening to Anthony Reich, Chai FM. What amazing coverage of the news of Israel. And certainly we know that even people in Israel are tuning in for the Israel report that we play here on Chai FM, because that is the best place for them to get accurate news. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony, we'll chat to you same time, same place tomorrow.